I'm Neil Fagan.
And I'm Jeff Owens.
And welcome to Scribble.
Yep, welcome to Scribble, another session where we're going to take you through a smorgasbord of poetry.
Oh, smorgasbord. I love that. That sounds very tasty.
I like to think of this show as a bit of a restaurant. If this was a restaurant, we'd be serving poetry the menu.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a good dish today, that is for sure. We've got some cracking stuff today, so thanks to everybody for listening in.
Yeah.
You were away last week. What were you up to, Jeff?
I was having a wander around the Peak District in the UK.
Oh, right. Nice.
Enjoying the sights and sounds and recharge of the batteries, and it got me into a sort of far more sort of poetical mood. So I'm actually in the zone for it today, guys.
Really?
I'm really up for listening to some stuff.
I do prefer it when you're in the zone, because it makes it so difficult when you're not.
Well, I wasn't on the last show, that's right. So I'm sorry I missed you, but we're back together again.
Excellent, that sounds good. Got the whole team back together.
Mm.
So this week we've got a smorgasbord of talent coming on. So let's just give you a bit of a rundown who we're looking at today. So we're going to start off with a lady by the name of Cara Johnstead, and this is a real treat, so you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to listen to, you remember the other week I was talking about a guy called Paul Griffiths, the Birkenhead poet? And
yes.
I said it'd be really great if he voiced some of his own stuff. Well, lo and behold, he sent us loads through, and I've picked one today for us to play, which is great. I did an interview with a lady called Jen Walls, who was a poetess out in the USA, and it was in the early hours of the other morning at
her
time.
So we're doing international interviews now.
Oh, yeah. She's in Minnesota, St. Paul's, Minnesota.
Fantastic.
So it was really early at her side, and oh, my God, it was early my side when I got up just to get the interview done. We can make those sacrifices and get it done.
Good on you. Well, yeah, I think so we're at the start of something that's growing by sound.
Totally international. That's what we want to be.
Brilliant.
Then we've got a gentleman by the name of Bob Williams. Then we've got a lady by the name of Skylark Hattie. And you like this. It's about Elizabeth Bathroy. It's a true story. She's written a poem around it.
Skylark Hattie?
Yeah, you can find her on Google Plus. Yeah, it's great. Then we've got a lady by the name of Essie Yanksy. I'll tell you a little bit about her once we start playing her piece. And then we've got a short story called Broken Man by Karen King. And then we've got a couple of others, Diane Forbes Compton and Tom Nelson and Joy Wilson Parrish, to finish us off on the programme. So it's quite packed. So should we crack on and get moving on?
Yeah, rig along, yeah.
We better add. So have a listen to this. See what you think to this one.
Okay.
Loving you, I shall die either way. There's no return. For if I say no to this passion that slumbers within, no to your laughter that slips under my skin, no to my heart that longs to take wing, and no to a moment more precious than spring. No, because the distance is much too far, much too vast. No, because why try when we know that nothing will last? In this moment when I look life right straight in the eyes and choose no in response to God's sweetest surprise, in that same moment of no, I shall start to wither and die, and my heart shall grow heavy, and the sun shall not rise. Live a pauper's life, empty pockets and pretty lies, solemn and somber, oh, a lovely disguise. I buried my flight, so well behaved, ticking off time as I march to my grave. And yet if I say yes to follow this bliss, the kind that leads to topsy-turvies and martinis with a twist, yes to the difference in age and the difference of place and the wild funny stories and a place on your face, yes to these lines that just won't leave my head, you go girl before you are dead. If I say yes to this ache that I don't understand, that has pulled me right out of my logical plans, if I say yes to licking the salt off of your skin or allowing you to enter me deep, deep within, then my, oh my, then I shall really die as I surrender to life's sweet surprise. And this death will be quick on that night of no moons, as we glide on a lake and you dive like a loon, and there in the dark, without time, age, or space, there we are showered in God's holy grace. I am not here, and you are not there. We are where nobody worries and nobody cares. Only our souls to see if it were true. Only our hearts beating. I love you. I love you. Yes.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love that.
That
I absolutely love that. I must have listened to that about four or five times now. It is absolutely cracking. Now, Cara's from Berlin.
Okay.
And she mailed in and we made contact. She's prepared to do an interview on the programme. She's a professional musician, poetess, writer, creative, visionary, whatever you want to call her. She's absolutely stunning as an artist. So hopefully we'll get more of her work on the programme.
Now, unlike you, you said you've heard that a few times. That's the first time I've heard that. So I might have had a different perspective. And for me, I couldn't make my mind at where that was going, because the first part of the poem centered around the word no, so I was getting a little bit sort of deeper down, and then you reach the bottom of what you think is quite, and then you turn up and you go up and the word yes comes in, and I thought that really was like a dip in the middle and a beautiful climb out of it. I love it.
Absolutely stunning. So
say yes more often, I think we should.
Yeah, there's a rule to that. Yeah, that was absolutely brilliant. So that kind of gets you in the mood, and as we say every week, kick off your shoes, sit back in the chair.
My shoes are already off.
Yeah, must admit, I've got a coffee in my hand. The only thing I'm missing is a nice cigar, and we'd have a great show. So moving on from that, I spoke about this guy earlier on, this guy called Paul Griffiths, who's the Birkenhead poet. And he sent us quite a lot of stuff in, and I'm going to play this one. It's called Expressed in Blood, and the reason he's played this is about people who suffer from some form of psychiatric illness. So just I'm guessing it's been built on maybe some sort of personal experience that he's seen, maybe somebody in the family. I don't know, I'm just guessing on that part. But knowing people who've had psychiatric problems, this really hit a chord with me, and this is how it goes.
Hi, Paul Griffiths here, also known on Facebook as the Birkenhead Poet, which you can check out my page. Big hello to Neil and all the guys at Scribble. This poem is a little bit sad, but explains the greatness of poetry. It's called Expressed in Blood, and I hope you like it. She had no other form of expression. She had low self-esteem. Her life was a living nightmare when all she wanted was its dream. Suffering in silence, that trapped mental pain, as the razor blade soothes her again and again. Scars on her arm, like lines on the page, tells her sad story of her coming of age. Release her frustrations with a slash and a sting. It only hurts for a second and then she don't feel a thing. Scars over scars, all over her wrists, making her statement that she exists. But the existence for her is always in need of a pain. Long sleeves and jumpers now cover her shame. Her parents called the doctor and they raised the alarm. What was inside her head? What made her self-harm? She was sectioned and sedated by clinical men, poked, prodded and questioned time and again. She had no answers, she did not know why. She would hide in the corner and break down and cry. Labeled bipolar and mentally ill, she slipped deeper into depression, losing her will. Finding solace with a razor, attempted suicide. This time the cuts no jumper could hide. Locked up securely, she was tested again, but she could not express her expression of pain. She had been failed totally by the medical men, but her salvation was found when she picked up the pen. Ink was her release, it flowed from her like blood, gave birth to expression like only pain could. Scratching words now on paper, not cuts to her arm, she had found poetry instead of self-harm. She took up the pen and she put down the blade, the greatest decision that she ever made. She conquered her demons, now her life was good, as she expressed herself with ink and not with her blood. Thank you, everybody. I hope you liked it.
Well, there you go. That was Paul Griffiths.
Actually, that made all the difference to me because Paul had sent it in. His voice, particularly the rawness of what he saw about, made it for me. Yeah.
And I had a great connection with that because, you know, somebody close to us had had a psychotic episode last year and ended up getting sectioned. Fortunately, now with all the treatment that she's got. And funnily enough, she's going to study the classics and poetry down at Brighton to do an MA. So it just shows you that. He'd written that. I don't know whether it was from experience or whatever, but it meant something to me, so that's why I picked it today. It's great,
brilliant.
Great piece.
Okay.
Superb. So earlier on this week, I caught up with Jen Walls, who's out in Minnesota. She's a great poetess, and I thought it'd be a really good opportunity to do a quick interview with her. So I rang her in the early hours of the morning, and we got on like a house on fire. So have a listen to what she had to say. Thank you very much for joining me today, Jen. So tell me a little bit about you and your poetry.
Well, hi, Neil. Thank you so much. It's really an honor to come in to scribble and really allow the scribble to keep flowing. I just feel happy in poetry. My family and I, it's unique.
Yeah.
I enjoy really coming into the group of cubily, blind, really knowing what to expect. And it was really wonderful that Alex kind of assembled a group of great writers with very diverse gifts, including you. So I get to meet you and come all the way to England, here from St. Paul, Minnesota, with ease. And I feel welcome. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome, Jen. So I read your poetry, and I've been privileged to listen to your poetry as well. And people are going to be listening to it on the Scribble Show as they tune into us. But one thing that really struck me, and I know we were talking off air a minute ago and just talking about who you are and what you are and how you operate. But one thing that really struck me, it had, for us here in the UK, we look into India and we see these great Indian poets and Indian speakers, and we hear that, like, the sitar music in the background, and every time, without fail, when I read your work, in my mind, I hear this sort of Indian sitar music running in the background, and it just eases my soul. And is it something that you're interested in, that type of deep meaning to your poetry?
It's unique that you point that out. Yes, actually, recently I published a book in India, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Love and Peace Duet Poetry. I paired my poetry with Dr. Ram Sharma's poetry. It's a very unique kind of situation because he's a very unique poet as well. He writes very, very simple, beautiful, loving verses for the common human.
Right.
That's one way of describing his poetry.
Yeah.
And some of it's very rugged and rough.
Hmm.
And so I connected with it right away. I felt almost like an ancient weaving coming together. There was no longer east and west or north or south.
Yeah.
Even just having some brief conversations with him, I learned a lot that even Native American spirituality, Eastern mysticism, lots of things that I enjoy studying. But it's more than studying when you're actually starting to feel connected musically with somebody's poetry. So I really would say that I started to feel connected musically with Eastern or Oriental type poetry. I wouldn't just specify India only, but I do have an affinity for a lot of beauty and artistry and powerful teachings, I would say, about life in general, about celebrating life and birthing and dying in life.
Yeah.
That it transcends all of that for me. So I wouldn't say that I'm just always in India, but I would say I'm really everywhere. I've experienced a lot of life, Neil, through people that I met all around the world. I have friends from all over the world. In fact, since university, our group of people, we were like the United Nations of misfits in some ways.
Mm.
I mean, we're misfits, but we really fit. It was really fantastic because we got to go past these skin and bones, but go right into the soul of each other.
Right.
I feel the same way in this Cubuli group.
Sure.
We're assembled by our giving, but we're also explorers. And we really, really each week get to explore new growth, expansion, but also I get to strip down to kind of like the bare, I'm a very bare bones writer these days. I sort of stick with a certain feeling to come kind of get away from some of the free verse poems, but I still do connect with them. I don't force any of this. I really try my best to zero down into the nothingness of what I feel to allow whatever comes through. And most of the time it's celebrating. It's just being this mother, being this lap, so that whatever happens in the world, it matters, but also there's this soothing, this feeling. It gives me a great pleasure to feel this kind of like ability to go onto my own lap and find the soothe. Your poetry does that too.
Yeah,
I see that in a lot of these poets that we're working together. We're woven together now after even just, I didn't even start until the fifth one. It's like I jumped in the middle of all of this. And I didn't see what anyone else was doing beforehand.
Yes.
So now I'm just looking. So my eyes are opening. And it's not only that, my heart was already open.
Yeah.
Now I feel like my eyes are starting to open and I want to keep pouring out. So I know that my poetry is interesting because you could take each line and reverse everything. You could put them all out of order and they would still fit. I didn't even realize that till like one day I was looking at the poem after it was channeled through and I thought, well, my God. Isn't that beautiful? You can just take it out of any order, and it doesn't matter. It still means the same thing.
And there's something beautiful about that in the reality that, you know, you can feel the emotion, you can feel the fact that it's straight from the heart. And I know there's comments around, and we were laughing and joking about it prior to going on air, about this bliss bomb that you pour out to everybody within the group and across all your friends. And, you know, for me, that is just really uplifting.
I feel like the people around me, they're very happy people. Mm-hmm. I really attach myself to happiness in almost every moment. And that's why I pretty much like to stay awake most of the night, because I can travel. I can travel anyway. Yeah. It's almost like I could travel through poetry, travel through music, travel through art. I see a picture and I might study it for 20 minutes. You know, it's like and cry with joy.
Yeah.
And I really do weep with this beauty that I think that the first time I ever saw our children when they were born, it's like that feeling. You weep with joy. You hold this infant in your hands and you're like, I don't even know what to do. There are no instructions, but it's okay.
How do I do this?
Poetry's like that to me. I have no instructions. Mm. I break all of the rules. I just love it.
I think that's the really nice thing about it is you're not concerned with the rules and with all the restraints that we're given or people like to be given about poetry, and all the intellectuals like to look at it and say, oh no, it's going to be written in this way. And I think that's what I love about your work, and I love about the Cubuli work is
we're
just a group of people who just want to write what we feel about, and I think that's the beauty of it all.
Well, thank you. I really don't feel like everything that I write is for everyone, but in some way I do feel that it touches something that is hidden. Maybe most of us hide away in our joy, but it brings it out somehow. It flowers it. It deepens it. As I said, I might read to a very diverse group. I recently started reading at coffee houses and seeing, you know, a little bit more different poets and different voices. And something, you know, sometimes I would tell myself I don't fit. You know, what I write here doesn't fit, but, you know, it really does fit. It's such the root of what it is that I feel that I really don't have to care so much to try to fit in a world that doesn't really fit anyway. I don't fit anyway.
And perfect. That's a super truism, that, at the end of the day, because nothing fits, does it?
No, it doesn't even fit. And it's beautiful. And I think where it is this surrender. Mm. I come into this place of surrender with everyone. It's not just me surrendering. I feel so much beauty around me. It's constantly giving, pouring. And if we all just sort of tune in and tap into it with our love, then everything is just as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's really, really beautiful. And thank you so much. I really feel almost like it's mothering the mother in me. Just right. To be able to share whatever little simple, little blissful tunes that come through. And they all change every moment. But I really, really like to weave that. And it's an invocation of heart. I really feel that.
Sure.
And it's a passion that almost kind of goes to silence at some points. There'll be many, many moments where I don't have anything to say. Because it isn't me saying anything.
Yeah.
It's something much more greater than we are. And I feel that healing force in this group and Scribble, it offers that. It expands that. So I'm happy to be a part of that and invite as many wonderful poets that there's so many that are really, really brilliant people, brilliant voices that need to be heard. So to come across on Scribble, I think it's really a great opportunity. So I hope you keep expanding that, and I feel you will. It's an artistry that is, it's just meant to be perfect in its beauty as it is.
And we're committed to expanding the cause of giving people a voice. That's what we do, and that's what we're about. And we are honoured to have people like yourselves as part of the Scribble organisation, the Scribble crew, the Scribblers that we've got all around the world now, and all the contributions that are coming in. And, you know, Jen, thank you very much for joining me today on the programme, and I look forward to seeing more of your poetry and hearing more of your poetry, which we'll be playing on the Scribble show. So thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you so much, Neil. Thank you, everyone at Scribble.
There you go. That was Jen Walls. And she is the happiest,
fantastic,
bubbliest person I have ever, ever spoken to. She's incredible.
For me, it was so nice to go behind the scenes of a poet and to sort of find out where she gets her inspiration from and, you know, meet the poet. Should be a slot.
Yeah, I think we'll have that as a continuous slot, because next week we're going to interview Ryan Woods, who's an author and a poet. So meet the poet. It's a good way, a good section, that. I think we'll keep that in. We'll do that every week. Because we've had an offer from Cara Johnstead for doing an interview. Maybe we do an interview with her the week after.
Yeah.
So we can keep it running on that side. So that was great. Nice interview, that, with Jen. So thanks very much, Jen, for staying up all the way through the night to do that. We're going to stay in the US at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move to a bit of a horror film. Because there's a poet called Bob Williams. And he wrote this great poem called The Frankenstein School for the Grafted. And he's voiced it himself, which is brilliant. Just have a listen to what this is like.
Hi, this is Bob Williams, and this is my poem, The Frankenstein School for the Grafted. Class, you're assembled here today to see I am the answer to all of your questions, says the not-so-kind doctor, an alpha to all his omegas, created to gaze on his wonder. Flambeau's flames rise and fall against these clammy, cold stone walls. I am in hiding, biding my time, licking my wounds and trying to rhyme, though all those who know me would call me a monster, a prototype fallen when Prometheus failed, kept locked in a dungeon, ignored and nailed, to walls crawling with spiders where I am ashamed, a near-human half-rhyme swaddled in chains. Yet unknown to all but you watching me now, I have escaped, shambled up stone stairways to hide in these shadows, where I am a free verse searching for rhyme, watching this circus and watching this fool, watching this joke Frankenstein calls his school, that I'll soon destroy like all he would rule, including myself, since I'm only his tool, and I'm done with that, since I'm nobody's fool. Frankenstein calls out to his class, "If you have questions, raise your hand. I am your leader, the king in this land." One student raises a hand and waves it. The doctor scowls. "You'll have to sew it back on now. What did I give you, the brains of a cow?" Raising your hand means raising your arm, like a Nazi salute or intention to harm, with a gun thrust out in fear or alarm. The student asks, "Father, may I call you that?" "Yes. What do you wonder?" "Father, why are we here? Where did we come from?" "Rhyme and reason are leaving me now. I want to break free from these shadows, to answer him, rescue him, keep him from drowning in water so shallow, to tell him what made him wasn't love for one's offspring, that it was a dictator who dallied with knowledge without acknowledging the heart's needs beyond systole and diastole. Need for a love, need for another, need for a home outside cold castle walls." But the master answers, "Where are you from?" "From beggars, convicts, thieves, the diseased, whatever those deceased could leave. You're here to serve and learn from me. You're here to serve and not to live. Oh, sever memories, separate ties from all your sundry former lives. Let go of knowledge, love, and beauty. Let your existence be obedience, an obsession with me, your duty." To show his power, he grabs a flambeau from the wall. They hide their faces, gasp, appalled. Head spin from shoulders, crack and fall, roll down the halls like bowling balls. But there are no strikes, only silence calls, where voiceless heads on floors would bawl, but from their mouths, no sound at all. "Put yourselves back together," Frankenstein calls. Headless, clueless, scared and blind, they grope about their heads to find. It is not pretty when the dead try to find their missing heads. A boy's head winds up on a mother who lost her daughter and a brother, and so she wants to keep it there, to fill the gap, to make repairs, though she knows that all along this lost and found game has gone wrong. Again, I'm losing all my rhyme. It goes when I lose reason. I want to scream out from these shadows that she can still rhyme anyway, even if her sound is something only the heart matches up with its murmurs, and not some slick sonic couplet falling on deaf ears the heart never listens to anyway. That the heart is a different drummer, drumming low, that sings the blood its course and flow. I want to scream out against Frankenstein, call him a cold, self-contained sonnet, all controlled quatrains, set rhythms and rhyme, in a final couplet whose closing reflection is its own echolalia, only self answering to self over and over again. One student calls out, "But Father, is this not a school like the whole have? Only each of us here is a legion, a chorus in all of our members, singing out for their memories, rebirthing themselves in the sparks that dart out between all our steel bolts, blinding our eyes, binding our bodies and heads in unequal electric unease." My master, the man who's really the monster everyone wants me to be, responds, "Button your lip. Here's a thread, there's a needle, and I want you to see the nurse. You're sick. She'll sew your eyes shut, so then you can learn how to see. Then in the dungeon, there in the dark, you'll think and see only me." Then another steps forth from the crowd. "Wait, let him be. Listen first and answer me." A gray woman, face patched like a quilt, opens her mouth. Stitches fall from its corners. Dust swirls up from her throat. Choking, she says, "I have a charwoman's head, a murderer's heart in the hands of a poet. I don't understand what they write. Why I cry at their words spilling out from my pen on candlelit nights and phrases my eyes cannot read, out of phase with the heart that I know. Take these poems, translate their words, sweep away soot from their meaning, tell me the memories that made them." The master snatches her papers, saying, "Give me your trash, you're not really obeying." He holds her papers over his torch, brief flare, a crackle, then ash falling down. Fire can't handle imagination. It can only kindle it into oblivion. And that is why I hate fire. Then my master, the monster you want me to be, sends her down to the dungeon to dwell. with those dreamers whose minds are set free, where the dead refuse to play dead, that dead end that I have just fled. Frankenstein shouts, take her below, seal her mouth, sever her hands. Let them grope in the dark for her answers. You're all dismissed. Your questions are cancers. Cut them out now. There are no second chances. Now I must rise from these shadows, tear down these flambeaux, and burn this place down. Becoming the ashes that dance in the ashes, achieving the only grace I can know, for one untunerally doomed and damned to burn from the gods up above and the men down below. I cast one last glance at my siblings. They are so many missed second chances. They are so many uncoupled dances. They are heavy looks. They are misplaced glances. Their limbs flail. Their lives fail. They aren't the sum of their thoughts. They're just trances. They shuffle down long empty halls to vacant classes. The bright lights are off here in the hallways of doom, only liquid equations that glow in the gloom from the chalkboards in every empty classroom. Here are the numbers. Here are the facts. These are the steps that crank out the answer. Don't look sideways. Don't look back. Dance within their parameters, logic minus magic, music, or the heart sounds of words. Imagination pens when everything heard falls on dead, deaf ears that know the absurd. Logic and meaning can't redeem and won't urge imagination back from the edge into life. And so on with my rage, so on with my purge, so on into fire to end all this strife. Hell comes for us all in this castle tonight.
Well, that was it. Bob Williams, the Frankenstein School for the Grafted.
Bob, you're responsible for me losing a night's sleep tonight.
Yes, right. Hey, Bob and a guy called Ryan Woods have got this horror thing going on at the minute. Both of them are using the same genre. And it's quite interesting what they come up with if you give them a couple
of words.
That was a
really interesting twist to the show. That was just something that I hadn't thought we were going to do.
No, and just carrying on that theme, there's a lady by the name of Skylark Hattie. Yep. That's her nom de plume, as they say. And she's written a poem about a lady called Elizabeth Bathroy, and this is about a true story about Elizabeth. I'm not going to spoil it. What you need to do is listen to the words in the poem.
Escape from the howling pitch of the vulpine obsession in me. Oh, darkness, my sister. Come and cloak me in my carnal pleasure as white mares and hungry wolves do mate in abominating horror and give birth to a thing of such evil proportion that even mine pitch cold black eyes turn away in such abject repulsion. Hey, why do you look that way at my countenance? But think you not that I too can feel a sense of horror upon such abominations in society? Or does the name Elizabeth Bathory make you quake and fear as it rightly should? For I can sniff it out, the intoxicating scent of your blood-red mortality. And so I say, let the wolf and the mare mate under the symphony of the screeching owl. Let the moon bleed red tears upon the earth as six-legged beasts roam the land of my ancestry. Oh, let there be blood and blood and blood, rivers of blood that flood for me to bathe in. Vampire queen, at your disposal, I am not. For I am she. Elizabeth Bathory, most powerful woman in all of Europe and Hungary. My beauty, a thing of legend, which I must preserve religiously and passionately. Slowly, hungrily, it takes possession of me, this need to feed. It is a hunger so great, a thirst so overwhelming that I can smell it in the very air, for I shall seek it out like some creature of habit in the deathly paleness of the darkness under the blood-red weeping moon. I need a young, beautiful peasant girl, full of innocence and astounding beauty. I need her like the very air I breathe. I need the feel of her silken tresses that gently fall like a cascading waterfall upon delicately balanced shoulders with rounded edges smooth as alabaster, yet soft as butter for my teeth to sink in. I prefer an elegant, refined, graceful neck that harmoniously covers its way into a delicious décolletage, for I shall get close upon her raw mortality and breathe in her uncultured, earthly scented intoxication. The reason behind my sin, as I dig my teeth into that petal soft virginal skin. Oh, let there be blood and blood and blood, rivers of blood that flood for me to bathe in. And if she dare shriek or protest, I shall make her regret that she dare go against me, Elizabeth Bathory, Countess of Hungary. For I shall make her young blood rue the day she was dragged into this world. I shall make her see the stars between her delicate porcelain toes as her feet burn beneath the flame, and I watch with pleasure as she dances and screams, and I delight in the scent of her delicate burning flesh. And if she still protest, I shall lock her in a cage like peasant animal that she is, and lance her until rivers of blood from her delicate young frame do flow, for I shall bleed out her beauty and let its crimson river anoint me. Oh, let there be blood and blood, rivers of blood that flood for me to bathe in, for I am she, Elizabeth Bathory, the most beautiful countess of Hungary.
Well, that was it. Elizabeth Bathory, true story.
Well, yes.
Mad as a box of monkeys she was.
Well, yes, so not a pleasant lady to have met anyway.
No, it's a cracking poem at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely superb. And Skylight does lots of different types of genres of poems, and this is just one of them that took my eyes. We were running a bit of a horror theme with Bob Williams. I thought we'd add that one in as well.
Yeah,
but I think it's a cracking piece.
We went back to back with the horror thing there.
Yeah, so that's right. So.
Note to self. I don't know where people listen to their poetry. I know we're available on iTunes, so yep. I suspect a lot of people will pop themselves onto their iPhones or their portable media devices, and maybe they might go for a walk and a wander listening to the poetry on the show. Yeah. Note to self, don't go near a graveyard when you're listening to those two.
That's right.
Particularly in the dark, unless you want the full experience, which might be quite good, actually.
Yeah, it might be. Quite powerful, those two.
Very
so
powerful.
Yeah, I really like those. So we're going to move on now to a lady by the name of Essie Yanksy. Essie's down in London, and she's running a group, and she's part of a group called Secrets and Chambers as well, and they're doing a lot of work, and we're going to be covering them on forthcoming shows, because they're writing and helping raise awareness about abuse of all sorts, whether it's domestic abuse or sexual abuse or whatever it is. And they're writing poetry about it and helping to raise awareness and raise funds for that. But she's wrote this one called Shells, and it's a cracking piece. And I thought it'd be really good to share it with everybody. So see what you think of this, Jeff.
Shells. She does her best to dodge them, but his words alone are like rapid artillery. Perfect, silent Stepford wife, living life like it's military. He sets mines and throws grenades. Explosions of a cannonade, blitz, air raid, no shelter. She hides under a carapace, shells. She is slow now, isolated. Her shell conceals her presence but reveals her absence. No one understands. She is lost amongst the sands like a hermit crab, forgotten. Left for rotten, she is washed ashore, pretty in the tide but devoid of the life that was once inside. Violently crashed through tidals before gently falling upon the shore. Her armor is all that is left. Her body is no more. Shells. She walks on them. Scrambled brain. She'll never be the same again. Fried inside. Cracked. Fractured. His plans hatched. and latched upon a beautiful bird on a leash. He broke her wings. He poached from her nest, left her walking on eggshells bereft. She will never sing a lullaby. He only serves to make her song cry. Shells. She lays in one, her skin pale blue, eyes swollen shut tight forever. Good night. No happy ever. After she was stitched up, stitches couldn't stitch up her heavy wounds. The light came down to lift her up. She died inside her carapace with his hot spit upon her face, his words etched forever as the last she heard. You are nothing but a shell.
How powerful was that?
Yeah, that wasn't what I was expecting.
No, it was not, was it?
No, not at all. Yeah,
you can imagine
powerful.
This, you know, she's part of this group, Secret and Chambers, and people can find them on Facebook. I suggest you find Essie Yanksy on Facebook as well, because she really is quite a powerful poet. Great pieces of work, those.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, really good. So we were going to play a short piece by Karen King called The Broken Man, which is a piece that she wrote. It's a bit of a short story that we want to do every week. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we're going to pass that over to next week. So apologies to Karen. You'll appear on the program next week. What we're going to do now is a couple of others before we finish. This is Currents by a lady by the name of Diane Forbes Compton, and this is a little bit lighter. Have a look at this.
Currents by Diane Forbes Compton. A storm is rising, and the electric currents in the air are setting the imagination on fire. Watch, says the mind's eye. Squint, says the subconscious. Watch out, screams Father Time. And we chortle out past the edge of reason, riding a hurricane through the divine, seeking our way through the ether with the voices of our rhyme. To ride a kaleidoscope back to the begin. Ah, love. When time ignited, what we were, how we flew, past all the barriers, set sail for the universe and beyond. How pale reality was in comparison to tripping the light fantastic. The ever-changing electric imagination of your soul. Bury me. Electrically hibernate within, and eventually your lightning pours through the soul and we're back to the begin.
Well, there you go. That was by Diane Forbes Compton, and it was read by one of our production team, Emma. Mm-hmm. Yep. Unfortunately, Diane couldn't record that, and hopefully she will. We'll do a shout-out for her like we did for Paul Griffiths.
Yeah.
Record it, Diane, and send them in and let us broadcast your voice doing your poetry. So we've got the last one to play, which is Was It Ever by Tom Nelson. Fortunately, Tom... Well, not unfortunately. Tom wrote to me and said, I'd like to hear somebody else voice it. Just so I can hear what my poetry sounds like, other than me doing it. So I took the liberty of voicing this for you, Tom, and I hope you do like it. Tom Nelson. You said you could have been less lonely. You said I could have been around. You said you never could see me. You said I never could be found. But was it ever? Was it ever down to me? Was it ever? Was it ever down to me? You knew it was going to be so hard, you knew nothing was given easily. You knew that I was struggling, and I knew that you wanted to be free. But was it ever? Was it ever down to me? Was it ever? Was it ever down to me? I worked my hands so hard, I did whatever I could, and God gave me some days when nothing I did was anything but good. But was it ever? Was it ever down to me? Was it ever? Was it ever down to me? I think we just hit the wrong road. I think our compasses had been lost. I think that we were looking for, at some stage we got everything crossed. But was it ever? Was it ever down to me? Was it ever? Was it ever down to me? If I see you, me, on the highway, if you see me out there on the trail, always know I go with you, always know my love is ever the same. But was it ever? Was it ever down to me? Was it ever? Was it ever down to me? And there you go, that was Tom Nelson.
Yeah, good
I
work,
like
Tom.
That point. Yeah,
I
nice
do,
one.
Yeah. Good piece, Tom.
It'd be really nice to hear him voice it. Because you never know whether you quite get the intonation right when you're reading somebody else's poem.
That's
so you
true,
try your
yeah.
best. So that's a challenging bit. Anyway, that's it for this week. Other than The Limerick.
Oh, yes. So we'll finish off with a bit of light. Yeah, it is a light-hearted side, isn't it? And the lyric I've picked this week was written by a poet called Ogden Nash, who sadly passed away in 1971. And he was attributed to have written this particular limerick. And it made me smile and gave me a great picture when I read it the other day.
Okay.
So here we go. There was a... A wonderful bird is the pelican. His bill can hold more than his belly can. He can take in his beak food enough for a week, but I'm damned if I can see how the hell he can.
I like that one. Good choice. Good choice.
Okay, guys.
Good way to finish the show. So next week, just to give you a heads up, we've got Marco Castellan on the show, Don Wells, Ryan Woods interview. We've got the Old Geezers. I caught up with the Old Geezers the other night. They're going to be on. Michael Lee Johnson, Caroline Hartley, the Plain Face Poetess, Sharon Bive, Essie Yanksy, and we're going to cover a lady by the name of R.C. De Winter, who you need to check out. You can get her on Google Plus or go to her SoundCloud account, which is soundcloud.com/R.C. De Winter. Yeah, it's worth having a look at. So that's all for next week. It just remains for us to say thank you very much to everybody for listening.
Well, this show doesn't work without the poets as well, so thanks to you guys. And pretty much so, if people wanted to get involved, what's the best way for them to get involved? Because we need you at Scribble to get involved with us.
So if you go to Facebook, so it's www.facebook.com/365Scribble. You can touch base with us there. Yep. We've got our radio station on that particular Facebook page. You can download us on iTunes at Scribble. Just go into iTunes and put in Scribble. And if you go on Google Plus and you look for me, Neil Kinsey Fagan, you'll find lots of work by the Scribble crew on there. And if you leave us a comment on some of them, we'll pick you up from that. So there's plenty of ways to get in. Yeah. I'll send you my email address. You can send us your sound files and we can profile you on the show.
Yeah, great. Really enjoyed ourselves today.
Yeah, it's been a great day. And as we say always at the end of each show, may your God or your gods go with you. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Keep scribbling.
Bye-bye.